Part 1 of Lord Tedric by E. E. Doc Smith. This is a LibriVox recording. All LibriVox recordings are in the public domain. For more information or to volunteer, visit LibriVox.org. Recording by Mark Nelson. Lord Tedric, Part 1. Time is the strangest of all mysteries. Relatively unimportant events, almost unnoticed as they occur, may, in hundreds of years, result in ultimate catastrophe. On time track number 1, that was the immutable result. But on time track number 2, there was one little event that could be used to avert it, the presence of a naked woman in public. Skandos 1, the Skandos of time track number 1, numbered for reasons which will become clear, showed, by means of the chronoviograph, that civilization would destroy itself in 187 years. To prevent this catastrophe, he went back to the key point in time and sought out the key figure, one Tedric, a Lomarian ironmaster who had lived and died a commoner, unable ever to do anything about his fanatical detestation of human sacrifice. Skandos 1 taught Tedric how to make one batch of supersteel, watched him forge armor and arms from that highly anachronistic alloy. He watched him do things that Tedric of Time Track 1 had never done. Time, then, did fork. Time Track 1 was probably no longer in existence. He must have been saved by his traction on the reality of Time Track 2. He'd snap back up to his own time and see what the situation was. If he found his assistant Furman alone in the laboratory, the extremists would have been proved wrong. If not, Furman was not alone. Instead, Skandos 2 and Furman 2 were at work on a tri-D of Tedric's life, so like and yet so wildly unlike the one upon which Skandos 1 and Furman 1 had labored so long. Shaken and undecided, Skandos 1 held his machine at the very verge of invisibility and watched and listened. "But it's so maddeningly incomplete," Skandos 2 snorted. "When it goes into such fine detail on almost everything else, why can't we get how he stumbled onto one lot, and never any other, of high-alloy steel? Chrome, nickel, vanadium, molybdenum, tungsten steel— Mortensen's super steel, to be specific, which wasn't rediscovered for thousands of years. Why, it was revealed to him by his personal god Losir, don't you remember?" Furman snickered. "Poppycock! To us, yes, but not to them. Hence, no detail, and you know why we can't go back and check." "Of course, we simply don't know enough about time. But I would so like to study this Lord of the Marches at first hand. Nowhere else in all reachable time does any other one entity occupy such a uniquely key position." "So would I, Chief. If we knew just a little more, I'd say go. In the meantime, let's run that tri-D again, to see if we've overlooked any little thing." In the three-dimensional full-color projection, Armsmaster Lord Tedric destroyed the principal images of the monstrous god Sarpedion, and killed Sarpedion's priests. He rescued Lady Rowan, King Phaegon's eldest daughter, from the sacrificial altar. The king made him Lord of the Marches, the highest of the high. "This part I like." Furman pressed a stud. The projector stopped. A blood-smeared armored giant and a blood-smeared naked woman stood, arms around each other, beside a blood-smeared altar of green stone. "Talk about being stacked! If I hadn't checked the data myself, I'd swear you went overboard there, Chief." "Exact likenesses. Life-size," Skandos 2 grunted. "Tedric, 6'4", 230, muscle just like that. Rowan, 6 feet and half an inch, 190. The only time she ever appeared in the raw in public, I guess, but she didn't turn a hair." "What a couple!" Furman stared enviously. "We don't have people like that anymore." "Fortunately, no. He could split a full-armored man in two with a sword. She could strangle a tiger bare—"
Sample complete. Ready to continue?